I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined again by Colin Drew. Every week on the Daily Roto Hour, we run through the main games on the NFL's main slate for DraftKings and FanDuel. So, big slate this week. Kind of a gross slate, right? It feels like for me, Colin, any slate where the Chiefs don't play, I'm just like, well, what do I do? Because I just stack the Chiefs every week, and no Chiefs this week. They have a primetime game, so we gotta switch it up.
Yeah, I mean, this slate doesn't feel great. Hopefully it'll be better than that Wednesday football game that we had. I think I'm good sticking with just Sundays, Mondays, Thursday for football. Mixing the Saturdays during the playoffs, I'm good with that. But that Wednesday football, I don't need that in my life.
Well, it just ruins everything. Like, it's. I think it's probably way better for, like, very casual NFL fans. Like, there's a game on Wednesday. But for us, like, we're messing with the optimizer. We're sitting there trying to get our teams ready. Like, for me, waivers for season-long leagues were a mess. Like, it's just a mess if you take football very seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this COVID pandemic year, too, it's like football is, like, what keeps my clock aligned. And it's just all thrown off now. I don't know what day of the week it is, but...
Yeah, like, no Thursday night football. Like, I woke up on Thursday morning and I was like, what am I even doing? Like, if I'm not preparing for, like, a Chicago-Tampa Bay primetime game, then, like, what am I even doing with my Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah, there's, like, a couple interesting spots in this slate, I'd say. But I feel like there's concerns about each one of them. So I'm curious to get your thoughts as we get into some of these games.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start with a pretty high total game being played in a dome. The Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. This is the Texans' first game without Will Fuller. Jonathan Taylor was activated off of the COVID-19 reserve list. I have placed him back in our projections as the lead runner. Still have Nyheim Hines clearly ahead of him as a pass catcher. So let me just, I actually do think that if you knew the answer to this question, it might be a $1 million answer. Keke Coutee or Isaiah Coulter, who is really the beneficiary of Will Fuller being out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be Coulter just because he does profile more as that outside wide receiver. But even in that, I don't think it's something where he's just going to jump and take all those snaps right away. I do expect that he'll split them a little bit with Steven Mitchell. And then, you know, Coutee is profiled as a slot guy. Maybe he can kick out and play a little bit outside too. But it feels like, I mean... it's not going to be a situation where someone's just going to jump into 20% of targets. Like, Cooks will spike up a little bit, probably in that 25, 26% range is where I would think. And then I imagine we just see a lot more of these tight ends. They've got four tight ends active now. Cahill Waring is a rookie that they were high on, or second year player. Then I think they'll work in a little bit more too. So I expect to see a ton of tight end usage as well. And so I think Cooks is definitely there. But yeah, Watson's one of our top quarterback plays in the slate. He's been running a lot more since they dumped Bill O'Brien. And so he's a great play, trying to figure out whether to single stack him. Cooks, an obvious answer, but to mix in another player or just leave it as a single stack, I think is a pretty important thing on the slate.
So I definitely think you do want to double stack because all of these guys are so cheap, right? Jordan Akins is 2,900. Coulter is the stone min. Cutie is 3.5 on DraftKings, but even Cooks at 5.6 is not like expensive. Yeah. And so your upside obviously is going up exponentially when you're double stacking, but also it's not like double stacking Russell Wilson where you're using like, you know, not like an insane amount. Yeah, like literally Jordan Akins and Brandon Cooks is less expensive than DK Metcalf. Like you're able to do it and include, you know, some other, you know, obviously very, very expensive players. You're able to play some chalky players there. On the Indianapolis side, I'm going to continue to go to the well with Michael Pittman. I think Nyheim Hines might be mega sneaky, though, because I don't imagine he will be popular at all. But I don't really think we'll see much of a role change from him. And if you're stacking the Texans, you're obviously expecting this to be a competitive game. Hines gets his best usage in competitive games. I mean, he's not going to pop really in optimals, but I do think Hines looks strong.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I guess one of the hard things is with these different COVID cases and the COVID IR, it's hard to tease out who had COVID with symptoms versus just had the positive test or was a close contact. And so you can get the close contact stuff usually, but I do think that impacts. And we have seen guys limited in their first game back or guys that are kind of eased back in. So, I mean, Taylor should play, but they've been splitting it anyways, and it's hard to really trust him for a lead role. I think Pittman is the bring back option. And I've been waiting to see some level of consistency as far as his target share, because he was eased back in at the first week, and then you saw a spike week and then a down week, but it doesn't seem like he's going to settle in probably as like 18% target share guy. And at his price, 4,900, I think that's for sure the best bring back option on the slate. He should be a touchdown catcher too. Like we haven't seen huge spike weeks, but he does profile like that type of player.
Well, what's interesting is it was not Taylor who tested positive. It was his girlfriend. So I think that if he had it, he was asymptomatic. So I think it's like, whereas Hardman was, and Hardman did not practice at all, but you know, Taylor came back. He's going to have gotten a full week of practice in. He actually finally had a really good game right before he went on the COVID list. So, I mean, honestly, Jonathan Taylor might be kind of sneaky in the sense of like, you're looking at guys who are going to be 1% owned who have 20 touch upside. Like, would you rather play Jonathan Taylor or Wayne Gallman? Like, I don't know. You probably might rather play Jonathan Taylor, I think.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Would you play Trey Burton? I mean, Trey Burton now is going, like, Trey Burton's going to end the season as like the 10th highest fantasy scoring tight end somehow.
It's so hard, right? They got three guys that they're using a little bit. And when you're like the lead of a three tight end rotation, it just feels gross. And so that, like, the Colts always seem like they're in a good spot every week, and they've had a productive offense. They're always having, you know, totals between 24 and 28, but I still just can't bring myself to stack them outside of picking, you know, one-offs here and there, Hines, Pittman, something like that.
It's unclear how much this stuff is going to be needed, because we should have we could have a couple value running back options this week. We could have value Falcons wide receivers. We could have value Jacksonville wide receivers. Like, none of that stuff is clear yet, but I could see double bringing back the Colts guys. But moving now to the Las Vegas Raiders at the New York Jets, somehow an important fantasy game, right? So we have Josh Jacobs, who has not practiced on Wednesday or Thursday with an ankle injury. John Gruden said on Monday after that game that it was a legitimate concern. And then, you know, Carr is going to project well, basically, because the Raiders have a good team total against a bad defense. Coming off of his worst game of the year, he will be 2-3% owned in contests. You're going to have non-existent ownership on Darren Waller, Henry Ruggs, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, the Carr stacks and then the very, very cheap bring backs on the Jets, they're all right there.
Buddy, let me tell you, somebody who stacked Derek Carr quite heavily last week against Atlanta, just to see Atlanta break the entire slate with their defense, it is tough to go back to the well. But if there's one matchup you're going to be willing to do it, it's the Jets. So yeah. I think people still be fine going to Carr and Waller, but some of the secondary guys that people were already a little like on the fence about, maybe less so. So I think you're right. I mean, the Jacobs injury, I think what we'd expect to happen, Jalen Richard has not been active the past couple of weeks, but he probably would be active, assuming he's healthy and good to go. Devontae Booker would play the lead role as the running back. And then probably like a 65-35 split on snaps, with Rashard playing a little bit in the running game and then as the passing role. So I think Booker, he's been priced up a little bit on DK, 5,500, kind of puts him as a fringe territory. Cheaper on FanDuel, I think more in play there, especially given the team total and the fact that you would expect him to be the guy that gets the goal line back looks.
Yeah, and, you know, we actually did see this play out last year. Josh Jacobs missed two games at the end. Jalen Rashard stayed in the same role he'd played all year, and then DeAndre Washington subbed in and played the Jacobs role, but actually, in a weird way, was more involved as a pass catcher than Josh Jacobs was. This is not really, it's not 100% represented in our projections right now, but I think that Booker is a really strong play. Like, I would be playing a more Booker than our projections, and like he would be a guy I would play in like the $100 spy. I think he would be kind of a core play for me, even if that's not really represented in the projections.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably not playing a big pass catching role anyways, so I said, I think a better play for me on FanDuel. I guess the other guy, I mean, Ruggs did lead the wide receivers in snaps last week, which was nice to see that. It wasn't, you know, it was always hard. He's still not getting all the targets. He did get a couple deep targets, but I do think you can double stack Carr this week. And I think seeing Ruggs kind of play that lead wide receiver role was at least nice to see as the season goes on. Always in New York, you know, in December, you're always going to have to pay attention to the weather at the Meadowlands. So I think that's something, you know, to keep an eye on, is just the winds there can get up into the, you know, mid to high teens pretty consistently in December. So maybe if it's windy, you don't attack the passing game, but I do like Las Vegas again this week.
Yeah, with players of who have at least 30 targets, Henry Ruggs leads the NFL on average depth of target. So, like, he does profile as that guy where, you know, if, like, literally, if he catches three passes, he can be in optimal lineups because two of them can be for, you know, 65-yard touchdowns. So Ruggs would be the guy for me. I expect that to be a martingaling sort of situation where I just keep playing him and keep playing
until
him.
Until the season's over.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So... the Jets, well, I mean, we got to talk a little bit about them. Like, Denzel Mims has been playing an alpha role the last 4 weeks. And I think with Darnold coming back, people were expecting possibly that Crowder would get fed his 28 to 32% of targets. And that didn't happen. So I think, you know, Mims' price is still pretty cheap. And that would be one guy that you could bring back with at a really cheap price to keep the stack cost down. Same with Perriman. And then, I don't know, how do you view the last 4 weeks and how do you view Crowder as far as figuring out the right bring back for the Jets?
He's useless. Because like my thought on Crowder is he is a good fantasy play when he's playing with wind sprinters, right? When he's playing with Jeff Smith and Chris Hogan, it really opens up room for him to just get, you know, check down after check down. You bring Denzel Mims into it, who like looks like a real NFL wide receiver, like looks really good. But then, I mean, even Perriman is better than Crowder, I think, like in terms of getting open and getting targets deep down the field. So to me, Crowder was like, you know, if you profited off him earlier in the season, you know, my hat's off to you. But I think the time for that is probably past.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, moving now to the highest total game of the week, the Cleveland Browns playing at the Tennessee Titans. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, great, whatever. Derrick Henry, let him get 19% on, let him get 40 points and break the slate. I like my angle on this game. I'm thinking of just playing a lot of AJ Brown. I don't think he ends up getting, you know, like crazy popular or anything. Maybe Tannehill and Brown ends up being popular. Corey Davis does project well, you know, pretty much on every site that does projections. But yeah, I mean, I can't go in with Baker Mayfield stacks. I mean, I would rather, I think, even do like Mike Glennon double stacks, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because the total like this game is really high, like you said, but we've got both teams projected for just above 60 plays, both teams projected to run the ball more than they pass the ball. And so you're expecting like these teams to run like the ball 30 to 35 times just right into each other. Yet somehow the game is projected to go over.
It's because the Titans defense is terrible.
Yeah.
And the Titans, I guess, to their
offense
credit,
is efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's basically it, is they just produce touchdowns. Like Vegas basically is buying that they are going to produce touchdowns.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like Corey Davis. I think he typically goes pretty low owned. I do think they'll have Adam Humphries back in the slot. He did return to practice off of that concussion. He's been out the past few weeks. So if things go well, they'll probably get him back. And I think stacking the Titans passing game is usually pretty contrarian because people are looking to them to run the ball. And so I think that's one option. And I think Corey Davis is an okay value kind of regardless. And his role is not that different from AJ Brown, even if the talent is pretty different. So I think those are, for the most part, that's where I'm interested. Chubb's price a little bit too high. And he's still splitting the carries with Hunt. So it's just a question of if the game script allows them to run the ball as much, and it doesn't seem like it will here. Everyone else there seems a little bit overpriced. Jarvis Landry, a little bit overpriced. Kareem Hunt, you know, maybe, but I think for the most part, passing on Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, I could maybe see an argument for like Mayfield, Hooper, Landry or whatever, because it's going to be super unique. It's going to give you leverage on Derrick Henry teams. It's going to give you lots of leverage on Nick Chubb teams, but it's kind of one of those things where I don't know if I have the heart to do it. Okay. Real quick here. Lions at Chicago. The Lions have a team total of 20. The Bears have a team total of 23. We thought we were going to get DeAndre Swift back, but as of Thursday morning, he is still not past the concussion protocol, still has not returned to practice. I know that David Montgomery is a good math play, but there's not a chance. Like, no way am I playing David Montgomery. Like, literally in terms of, like, bad running back in, like, at a mid-tier salary, I would rather play Wayne Gallman, who I think can, like, bonk off two touchdowns way easier than Montgomery.
There wasn't a lot more tilting than, like, I've been playing, you know, from doing the show, I've been playing Montgomery at his cheap prices throughout the year. And then he gets hurt, comes back on the showdown slate and breaks it as the winning captain. So that was a tough scene. I'll probably play a little bit of Montgomery. I think you knew that one was coming. I'd say the depth wide receiver pieces are kind of interesting too for Chicago. Darnell Mooney, 3,400. If you're looking to pay up at running back and punt a wide receiver spot, I think he's got a lot of big play potential, one of the air yards leaders in this offense. And so potentially interested there. And then I guess for Detroit, I'm not really interested in their offense at all until we get some reports on whether or not Kenny Galladay is going to be back, whether or not Danny Amendola is going to be back. It's a really tough matchup for them regardless. I do think Kerryon Johnson would have been interesting in a better matchup, but against the Bears, I'm probably off of Detroit unless it's Galladay back.
Are you ready for a narrative to support your Mooney play?
Yeah, let's hear it.
About once a year, Taylor Gabriel would have a 3-touchdown game with Mitch Trubisky, and Mooney's literally just playing that role. Does that help sell you on Mooney as a punt play?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in. 3,400, and then you're paying up at running back. There's some good running backs to pay up for, and not great running back values. So,
yeah, I think maybe it's a little bit interesting also to play Cole Kmet. Tight end has been so disgusting. And we saw the flippening last week with Jimmy Graham. He ran more routes. Now, I don't know how good Cole Kmet is. It's very interesting that Cole Kmet played tight end with Chase Claypool at Notre Dame. And everyone kind of assumed that Claypool would play tight end in the NFL. And now, you know, he looks like the second coming of Calvin Johnson. And yeah. Cole Kmet is like having a hard time beating out Darnell Mooney and Anthony Miller for targets. And it just like in general, I'm just looking for tight ends who can catch touchdowns, and Kmet does. I mean, he almost had one last week. Like, he does look like a guy who can do that. I think my favorite game, I'm just obviously a little bit worried about, you know, pieces of this game getting really, really owned, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Minnesota Vikings. I guess really, though, the only two pieces that should end up being over, you know, 10% or so are going to be Justin Jefferson for the Vikings and Dalvin Cook for the Vikings. I'm pretty set on just not playing Dalvin Cook this week and letting the chips fall where it may. Like, if that ends up being bad, whatever, you know, I've lost a lot of money fading Derrick Henry. It's not really going to be all that different. And honestly, I love Justin Jefferson. He looks great, you know, whatever, but Thielen coming back. I mean, Thielen, how many times have we seen a player come back from injury this year or, you know, a game missed due to COVID or whatever, gets under-owned relative to his teammate, and he crushes? I mean, we saw this happen with Thielen three weeks ago. Yeah, like, it literally has already happened with Thielen. I imagine it will happen again. And then Kirk Cousins is a huge value in our projections this week as well.
Yeah, I think the Cousins double stack is definitely one way to get off of the Cook teams. And if you're doing that, you definitely want to bring it back with Jacksonville, because you are hoping that it's a game where Minnesota is getting behind, or at least is back and forth a little bit. So you're looking at, you know, DJ Chark if he's active. You're looking at Visca in that type of scenario. Vikings defense can't give it up too. So I do agree with you, especially in FanDuel. I think Thielen profiles as, you know, the preferred target in the red zone. More of a touchdown heavy player, and he does typically, I mean, especially with the run that Jefferson's been on, I think that he is going to go overlooked out of those three guys. And if you were just to play like at minimum one Viking, one of these three players, Cook, Thielen, Jefferson, you would just be printing this year. Because one every week, one of them's going off.
Yeah, and I mean, Kirk gets a lot of hate, obviously, but he, you know, he is a guy who, like, he's like fourth in PFF's quarterback grades right now. Like, he looks great.
Yeah, I think, you know, the concern with Dalvin Cook, I guess, is the report like that suggested they may manage his usage a little bit down the stretch, and that's always tough to read into. They have been feeding him over the, like, since he come back from injury, essentially they've just been feeding him like 25, 30 touches a game. And historically we had seen Madison a little bit more involved than he's been in over that run. So I guess that's the one thing that could prevent him from reaching like the true ceiling is if they do go back more to that, you know, 2/3, 1/3 split, if they're able to get ahead in a game where they're 10-point favorites.
And really, Cook has been getting his production like Derrick Henry has. He only has, Cook on the year only has a 12.5% target share of the Vikings offense when he's been in. Like, he's getting there on long touchdowns. Like, he is. And, you know, at 9,500, like, even, literally, even with one long touchdown, it's not certain that he makes optimal lineups, right?
Because,
like,
sure.
25 can do it some weeks, but not if, like, if James Robinson also gets 25, Dalvin
Aaron
Cook
won't. Jones, yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, James Robinson, I just have been saying this on every show I've done this week, all my written content, literally just as a reminder to me, like, just play that guy. He is a cheap every week. He gets 25 touches every week, and when he scores, you bank, and if he doesn't score, he doesn't really kill you that much anyway. He's had double-digit PPR points in every game this year. I mean, he has just been like the fifth best running back in fantasy. I'm playing him this week. He's a core play. Like, I just am getting him in, and I need to just hammer it home to myself that I'm playing him.
I'm here for you, buddy. If you need to talk about it, let me know.
It's like, have you been playing him? I played him last week for the first time ever, I swear.
Yeah, early in the season, a bit unfair. You're right, not playing him a ton.
Yeah, and then looks like DJ Shark is probably going to be back this week. So that takes a little bit of value out of the Jacksonville wide receivers. But Mike Glennon last week did look more capable than Gardner Minshew, certainly looked more capable than Jake Luton.
Shark's 5,400. Like, that's a nice price for a guy that can definitely smash the slate.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that Keelan Cole and Laviska Shenault are worth, like, you know, little flyers out, you know. Like, I'm not jamming in Visca, but I do think he's kind of in play.
Yeah, and that'll partly depend if Chris Conley comes back also, then he'd eat up some of the outside wide receiver snaps along with Chark. So I'll wait and hold on Visca, and Keelan Cole in the slot is fine, just not overly exciting.
Yeah. All right, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Miami Dolphins. Sounds like we are going to get Myles Gaskin back this week. Ryan Fitzpatrick coming through is a great value in our projections as well. I think that you can double stack him. No interest in any Bengal. I mean, Brandon Allen, Ryan Finley. I mean, it's just like, even Geo at his price, even Tyler Boyd at his price. Like, I wouldn't even bring back. If I was going to do Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that.
Yeah, if I did Fitzpatrick and Parker or Fitzpatrick and Gesicki, I would act probably because I wouldn't bring it back. I would only single stack, you know, and use and find other ways to correlate inside the lineup. But I am not interested in any Bengal at all. Gaskin, I think, would be an incredible play because I think he would just come back to getting a full workload.
Yeah. What is his price on both sides? I was wondering about that because you're right. Like, he was very involved in the passing game as well as getting the majority of the carries. So it's a great matchup for running backs in general. And the offense feels like it's more aggressive and performs better under Fitzpatrick, who is expected to start again this week.
Yeah. So Myles Gaskin is $5,900 on DraftKings, like basically making him look like a smash there, like looking really good. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't, do you really like Devontae Parker, really like Gesicki, any of those guys?
I do really like Devontae Parker. Just since the Preston Williams injury, he's become more of an alpha wide receiver, which is what we saw last year. So I do think that Parker should project more like a true wide receiver one going forward. And so I like him, even if you're not stacking up the game. I think he's a good one-off piece and a guy that'll be kind of in the 5-10% ownership range.
Yeah. All right, moving on now to the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. At what ownership would you play Alvin Kamara in, like, the power sleep the power sweep, like the $150 three max on DraftKings. Like, if I told you you can lock him in at 0.8% ownership, are you playing Alvin Kamara?
7K. No, I mean, 0.8, I guess you're kind of considering anybody at that point. But I think the issue is like twofold. One is they're not throwing the ball as much. Two, they're not targeting him as much as far as their
throws. He has a target.
Yeah. And then losing carries to Latavius Murray as well, just because of the way the offense is structured. So I like 0.8%. I just feel like the price isn't there, but at 0.8, you start to consider it. But I'd still probably look elsewhere and just figure it out. He's going to be like 5% at most, though.
Oh, I mean, even that would honestly surprise me. Okay. Michael Thomas has like a 55% target share since Taysom Hill took over at quarterback. This should, right, on the road in a dome, this should be a more competitive, a better spot. I mean, the Saints literally did just steamroll this same Falcons team 2 weeks ago in Taysom's first start as a quarterback. But, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, Michael Thomas is going to be the exact same price. He's going to be almost the exact same ownership, and he'll be 5% or lower as well. So that's like the Kamara thing. I think you play Michael Thomas, get some contrarian exposure to the Saints offense. I'm curious to see, like you said, it's the second matchup for these two teams. Taysom now putting more, you know, stuff on film. I'm curious to see how things adjust and how defenses are able to adjust. But I think Michael Thomas is the one guy I would kind of consider either as a one-off piece or if you were going to play Taysom going with him. And then the Atlanta side of things is just like, it's a big whelp right now just because we don't know Julio's status. There could be some value for the passing game. It's not the best matchup for them. And but I do think those uncertain situations could open up value at the wide receiver position specifically.
I think that is likely true as well. I would be interested in playing Christian Blake. I think no Olamide Zaccheaus, probably no Julio. That, you know, it takes a little bit of the guesswork out. I mean, maybe Brandon Powell comes in.
No, he's slot.
You know, like, yeah. Well, like we keep thinking that. Like, we keep thinking that they line these guys up in such a way, and then I keep missing. Like, every week, I just keep missing on who the backup is. I do think, though, that it does look like Christian Blake would be a pretty big beneficiary. He is the stone man. We could, you know, very easily see 45 Falcons passing attempts here. I would be pretty interested in Christian Blake.
Yeah. I mean, like, Powell's played 85% of the snaps in the slot, so he feels like he's more of a gauge thing. But like you said, we've gotten this wrong, like, 3, 4, 5 times this season, so what's a six to add to the rotation?
Yeah.
The running back, man, I thought Brian Hill was going to be a really good value at 4K last week with that late injury to Todd Gurley. I think the usage was okay. Just nothing got done for Atlanta. And I mean, the amount of like Falcons I played just to see their defense put up the performance they did, it's frustrating, but I don't think I can do it at 4,800.
I don't know. I'm sort of thinking about it. So like Gurley, when he was healthy, was receiving like a top 5 expected points workload. Like, he was getting all these high value touches. The problem was he wasn't getting targeted that much because he really can't run passing routes anymore because his knees are so deteriorated. And Hill did start out that game clearly as the starter. He just played really bad. Like, he was playing bad in game, like, was not pass blocking well. He dropped the only target he got, so that playing more. But I would imagine they do come into this game, same thing as last game, like, okay, Hill, you're playing as Gurley. You might get a run, a couple more pass routes. You're going to get first crack at goal line stuff, but like, you have to play well. Where, like, Ito Smith has been a healthy scratch this year. Like, it's not like they love Ito Smith or anything. So I kind of think there's maybe a little bit of flop leg with Brian Hill. Like, I might kind of want to play him on like one team.
Yeah, I think I'm off that one, like you said. I mean, who knows if they activate Quadri Olsen as well. So that was what like pushed me over the edge to play Hill last week, was just the two backs active. So, yeah. Unfortunate situation, but
what about Hayden Hurst? I mean, just totally disgusting tight end position. Like, we were talking about Cole Kmet, Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, definitely.
No Julio, no Olamide Zaccheaus, no Gurley. I mean, like, Hayden Hurst can get 14 here, right? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's fine for a one-off.
Yeah. I mean, this is just one of those games that, like, you know, all of the history of New Orleans Falcons games, you're like, man, I got to find some plays here. It's in a dome. Like, we know there's going to be lots of passing attempts. But also, what we saw last week is New Orleans will just suffocate you because their defense is so good and they'll just run now. Like, yeah. they'll literally run 45 times in a game. Like, they don't care. So
yeah, exactly.
That's probably not great.
Why you're seeing the total down at like 45 and a half as well.
Moving now to the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. What's the deal with Kyler? Only 10 total rushing attempts the last 2 weeks, two straight losses. I mean, yeah, he's got this shoulder injury. Yeah, he's banged up, but he was removed from the injury report last week. I mean, it's certainly our brain kind of trying to find patterns, I think, with him of being like, oh, he gets the shoulder injury. But, you know, I don't know. I guess what's interesting is he is literally number two in the NFL in total fantasy points, and he has this insane rushing floor. Even hurt, like even in a bad rushing game, he's still adding, you know, 2-3 points with rushing. And my guess is he is just not going to be owned at all this week. Like, he just will not be played. And you're getting an insane ceiling with him. You have very clear, like, it's literally just DeAndre Hopkins and Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk. The bringbacks are Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Like, it's all setting up for if you are okay getting $0 back, you know, just stacking Kyler in his stacks. I mean, it is setting up well for you.
Yeah, it is setting up in that direction, at least. Larry Fitz on the COVID list. I think last report I saw was he was expected to come off, which that would be a little bit unfortunate just because it's more exciting to think about double stacking Kyler with Andy Isabella.
No, I won't acknowledge. I don't.
Just pretend it's not going to happen.
Yeah, correct.
Kyler, he got 20% of the rushes the last 2 weeks versus like 30, 35 over the course of the season. They still ran the ball 50% of plays though. So it wasn't, it just felt like those designed runs were missing and that his rushes were more on scrambles. And I don't know. I feel like if push comes to shove though, and like they're on the 10 yard line, like eventually it's just going to, like, they got to win games.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think you should dock the projection a bit to account for that. Their total is low just because like the Rams have one of the top five defenses, I'd say, in the NFL this year. And they do have one of the strongest defenses against the passing attack as well. So I guess that is, I am a little more apprehensive about the Kyler stacks, but I think it's a week where you get them at like 2-5% ownership as a whole. And I like Woods and Kupp as individual pieces or as bring backs, just because like it's the type of matchup where the Rams aren't afraid to throw the ball if they do get behind, and they could get behind in this game. And you know, a lot of the targets are funneling to those guys. So their prices are in that kind of mid tier where you do need to hit that up a little bit if you want to pay up at other positions. So one of Woods or Kupp, no real preference between the two.
So do we think that Kenyon Drake might be a play here? I mean, if they are going to kind of go away from the Kyler Murray rushing attempts, 22 rushing attempts against New England last week for Drake, 4 targets, 2 rushing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns since he returned from his ankle injury. I mean, he is pretty cheap. He is losing a lot of passing down work, obviously, to Chase Edmonds. Still only played 49% and 56% of the snaps over the last 2 weeks. But he seems like maybe he's in play.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in play, like in that mid 5K range. Like, if you're, I mean, you were talking about Wayne Gallman. Like, if you're talking about Wayne Gallman, you can definitely consider Kenyon Drake because he is going to be the goal line back. And if Kyler doesn't run as much in the red zone or doesn't run as much in general, then that definitely benefits Drake. You got to treat him like a one dimensional player who's not catching a lot of passes though, and I think that's what you're looking at there.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to do your whole cornerback bit. Are you not? You're not scared about Patrick Peterson with Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp?
Oh no! I mean, you got to be worried about Jalen Ramsey for DeAndre Hopkins, right? You got to be worried. So it's a lot of people. I mean, you know, you also have to worry about the Rams' interior corners against Andy Isabella, which, by the way, Isabella should have scored on the Cardinals' first play from scrimmage last week. He got like one of those little jet passes that they do, and he got shoestring tackled, and he could have scored, and I would have hated myself for not playing enough.
Homecoming game for him too. Tough scene.
Yeah, tough scene. Well, I don't think Fitzgerald is going to play, or at least I'm mentally blocking it out, and I am going to be jamming Isabella in this game.
Fitz is in that at-risk age group, so hopefully they give him some time off.
Right? Yeah, he's so old. So I'm with you there. All right, moving now to the New York Giants at the Seattle Seahawks. So we've seen the Seahawks begin what we all knew was going to happen eventually, right? Pete Carroll was going to start doing his, the success number, right? We like to have 50 plus completed passes plus rushes, and that's the magic number we want to get to. Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson both involved last week. Hyde out-snapped and out-touched Carson. You know, DK Metcalf, 83% of the air yards for them last week. But again, this actually is a very similar situation to Kyler, where this is going to be like season low levels of ownership on Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, I was curious if people, I mean, between the two, I would expect Metcalf to be maybe like 2x Lockett, but both of them in that like 4 to 8% range was just my gut on things. And I think everybody's looking to pay up for those two running back slots. So this is a week where paying up at wide receiver, you're going to get those guys at a big discount. And Metcalf has shown the ability to break the slate. It, like even some of his monster games have been held back, and they could have been even bigger. A couple big plays, big drops last week as well. So I like DK Metcalf quite a bit this week. I like Lockett a little bit as well. But if you're getting low ownership on both those guys, I prefer Metcalf. It's almost impossible to double stack them. So that kind of like has me pulling back on Russ a little bit. Like at his price, he'd almost have to throw 4 or 5 touchdowns, and it's pretty tough to
finish. Or run. He'd have to pick up his running.
Yeah. And it's been like what in that 20% range, but yeah, Chris Carson back as well. So that is another thing that feeds into the narrative. He did play behind Carlos Hyde last week. Not sure how healthy he came out of that game. We'll be one to monitor practice reports pretty closely to see whether or not it's going to be like another step up for Carson, or if Hyde will kind of play that lead role in the backfield. He was the guy getting kind of all the carries in the fourth quarter as they were grinding out that game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 100% with you on Metcalf. I think he's like an insane leverage play because like he can just go and get 40. It's not like, and I've also heard some speculation that Lockett is banged up since he got that knee injury that it caused him to miss practice 2 weeks ago. Then Seattle played on Thursday night. Some of the Seahawks fans I follow on Twitter are just speculating that he is not 100% healthy. You're going to see loads of people play Davante Adams, so they're not going to play Metcalf. People never pay up for guys like Metcalf over Dalvin Cook or over Derrick Henry, especially on DraftKings. People don't play wide receivers in the flex position. I think people would even rather play Keenan Allen. I just see so many paths basically to people not playing DK Metcalf basically. Like I think he comes in as one of the best leverage plays all season when you consider projected ownership and ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the Giants, I guess still some questions at quarterback, whether or not it's going to be Daniel Jones who's back for this game or whether or not it's going to be McCoy. So I don't know. I'm interested in no Giants. Gallman's got like 49% of the carries the last 4 weeks. That is not enough for a team with the 18 point total to interest me. So that mid 5K tier for me, like it's Gaskin, it's Montgomery, maybe Drake. And I definitely don't think Wayne Gallman's in play.
Well, I mean, you say that, but he's going to score again. You know, because that's just what he does. I will say Jacob Hollister led the you know, had more routes and targets than Disley last week. They didn't really need to throw. Really, they only just threw to Metcalf last week. I think Hollister mega sneaky, especially if you want to play Russ this week.
Yeah, that would be a double stack I would do. Yeah. Like Metcalf, Russ, Hollister.
All right, we have the New England Patriots at the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are either 1-point favorites or 1-point dogs, depending on what book you look at. Austin Eckler is like, he's definitely the play of the week. He might be the play of the year at 7,100. He came off of IR last week. He had a career high in touches. He saw 14 targets against the Bills. I mean, so you can't stop me from playing him.
Well, so he was the play of the year last week then, because he can't be the play of the year this week. If he was the play of the year last week at lower ownership and a better matchup with a higher total and all that usage.
Yeah, but he didn't get there. I'm guaranteeing he gets there this week. I'll guarantee you an Austin Eckler get there week.
What's the get there for him? It's 7,100. He's got to get at least 25.
He'll get 28 DraftKings points or more.
Yeah, I'll obviously easily book the under, but I'll give you plus 150 on your over.
I'm jamming him. Like, I'm going to play him in the spy. I'm going to play him in the single entry stuff on FanDuel. I just think he's like just such a great play.
Yeah, I think he's a good play. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see the usage tug back a tiny bit as well. And I mean, like Keenan Allen's still going to get fed tons of targets as well. So Allen's price is really uncomfortable now. So in this matchup, probably going to avoid that. This game in general feels just a little bit uncomfortable. Chargers are priced like a team with like a 28 point total, which is kind of what they've been, and it's down at 24. And then Cam, like, not maybe I would play Cam Singleton.
No thanks to Cam. I mean, maybe Jacoby Myers is your Justin Herbert bring back if you are into that. I mean, I don't hate Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen this week. Like, I think they're fine. I mean, they're overpriced, but I still think they're like fine-ish relative to what I would expect their tournament ceilings to be. But yeah, it's very much like whatever. They're a game that is weirdly going to have a lot of attention on one side, but then no attention on the other side. The Philadelphia Eagles playing at the Green Bay Packers. Looking at quarterback stuff this week, I actually just expect Rodgers to end up being chalk, because people aren't going to want to play Russ. People aren't going to want to play Kyler. People aren't going to want to play Justin Herbert. Tannehill is, maybe he gets owned a little bit, but Rodgers is going to have that combination of the built-in stack that everyone wants to play with Devontae Adams and, you know, high total, relatively affordable at 6,800. I mean, Rodgers is just going to be mega popular this week, I think.
Yeah. I mean, quarterback gets spread out a fair bit anyways. Like, you just named a bunch of decent options, Deshaun Watson, like these guys. So maybe he'll get like to 10%, which is reasonably popular for a quarterback, but we're not talking like a 25% guy. I do think he'll be more popular on FanDuel, where it's easier to run like the single stack with Devonta Adams. I think one of the things is, especially as you get like up in stakes a bit on DK, is double stacking with the bring back is like the GTO strategy. And so people aren't overly excited about double stacking Rodgers. I guess Alan Lazard would be the wide receiver two in the offense, but you know, he's priced like 5K, like he's priced like a 18-20% target guy, and he hasn't really been that good to just funnel it all to Adams. I think it's a great week for Aaron Jones as well. So yeah. I know he has been losing some of the work to Jamal Williams, but that's not entirely different than earlier this year or than last year. And so he's definitely
you play Aaron Jones for touchdowns. You're not playing him for like 28 carries and six catches. Like, you're playing him for three touchdowns in terms.
Exactly. And that is still for sure in the range of outcomes against this Eagles team.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any bring backs for?
I mean, like, it's a disaster. So, like, we might as well at least go through it. Zach Ertz is expected to be back this week. So I think Dallas Goedert will still be the lead tight end. Ertz will kind of like maybe split time, ease back in with Richard Rodgers, but he's definitely not going to be in consideration. And then I don't know what they're doing, like giving Alshon Jeffrey snaps over Fulgham last game. And so I guess Rager would potentially be the only guy that I think has like a secure wide receiver role in the passing game that's probably going to see 70% or more of snaps.
Well, I actually think that as long as Ertz doesn't play, Goddard does look like a jam, because he played 100% of the snaps last week and is now getting targeted like at his career rate. The two games before, he was not. But I think Goddard is a jam if Ertz sits.
Yeah, Goddard's probably fine as a one-off play too, just because they should be behind and passing in this game. And yeah, I think if he loses his role at all, it's not going to be this first week that Ertz is back.
Yeah, I think that does probably make a good amount of sense. Are any interest in Miles Sanders at like record low ownership?
I don't think so. I feel like, he's slowly been losing a little bit more work to Boston Scott last week. And I don't know. I don't think I can go there. It feels like I'm just chasing a name at this point over, you know, chasing somebody like a running back with his splits against for a team with a 19 point total.
He would be the one guy I would play, because Allen just like chucks the ball into triple coverage. Like, that's like his move. This is where we wrap up our main slate NFL DFS discussion by giving you our favorite games to stack in large field tournaments on FanDuel and DraftKings. I am going to go with the Minnesota Vikings and the Jacksonville Jaguars. One, I think that the Jaguars have very good cheap options. James Robinson, DJ Shark, but then Keelan Cole, LaVisca Chenault. I think both of those guys are solid bringbacks. I think that gives you a lot of leverage off of Dalvin Cook. Kirk Cousins is rating very strong in our projections. I also think that Irv Smith Jr. Being out is like a pretty big deal for Kyle Rudolph. It turns him into an every down player. He's a guy who can go from seeing like four targets to like seven targets, gets a larger role in the red zone, Adam Thielen leverage. Like, it's kind of paint by the numbers leverage stuff. But I think that, you know, obviously really high total playing indoors, like, this is all very good stuff.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. With that stack, are you wide receivers in triple stack with Rudolph, or are you going to go with like Thielen over Jefferson to get the ownership discount?
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Thielen over Jefferson for the ownership.
Yeah. I think my favorite stack is going to be Deshaun Watson. He's the top quarterback in our rankings right now. He's been running a lot more since Bill O'Brien left, and I do expect them to utilize a lot more two tight end, three tight end packages even this week. And so going with Deshaun Watson, going with Brandon Cooks, kind of getting that chalk single stack in there, but then filling out the tight end position and bringing it back with Michael Pittman, I think it gives you a ton of salary flexibility to work with. You're spending on average 5K at the two wide receiver spots, getting a sub, you know, 3.5K tight end in there, getting a good quarterback and still having room to spend up in some of these upper mid-tier players at other positions. So I like that stack a lot this week. And even though Indy has the higher team total, I think the Houston passing game is the better side of it to stack.
Would you bring back in all of those stacks? Like, would you always bring Deshaun Watson in a stack back or no?
No, I don't think so. And I wouldn't even always double stack him. I would probably set it up where I'm forcing a single stack, but using key boost to mix in some of these other pieces, just because, yeah, I think that he can or and has been generating a lot of the upside with his legs over the past like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, definitely make sure to head over to dailyroto.com. If you are playing NFL DFS this week, we'll have all sorts of great written content to provide more context to the slate, the best projections that you can get for playing NFL Daily Fantasy, and the best optimizer if you are looking to get in lots of lineups. Everyone, thanks for listening. Good luck with all of your lineups and your bets this weekend.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.